My guest is H.F. Saint. 5 years ago, when he was 40, Saint abandoned his career as a real estate investor to write his first novel. It's called Memoirs of an Invisible Man. When he started taking the manuscript around to publishers, the first editor rejected it, advising him to take his fantasies to a psychiatrist. Saint took the book to another publisher instead and has since made more than $2.5 million from selling the rights to book clubs, foreign publishers, and the movies. Chevy Chase is signed to star in the movie version. When I spoke with H.F. Saint, I asked him to begin by reading a passage from the opening of Memoirs of an Invisible Man.
For the first 34 years of my life, I was exactly like everyone else, and while those years seemed compelling enough to me at the time, you would presumably not be reading a narrative entitled Memoirs of a Securities Analyst. Anyway, right in the middle of my rather ordinary way through life, a minor but altogether extraordinary scientific mishap rendered a small spherical chunk of New Jersey utterly invisible. As chance would have it, I was at the critical moment included in that spherical chunk. I, together with my immediate surroundings, was instantly transformed. Just as in a petrified fossil, the structure of the original organism is exactly reduplicated as an arrangement of mineral particles, so my body was exactly reduplicated as a living structure of minute units of energy. It functions very much as before, with, as far as I've been able to determine, only minor differences, but you cannot see it at all.
Was that ever a fantasy of yours, to be invisible?
I don't remember it. It must have been. I spent 5 years of my life working on it, but I don't remember it.
You don't remember
having been a fantasy as a child.
I think everybody at one time or another has thought about being invisible, whether it be out of embarrassment or, oh, I don't know, to have access to something that you normally wouldn't have. But even though it wasn't a fantasy of yours, it intrigued you enough to write a book based on it.
Yes, I think that when I was looking for something to use as the in this book, having abandoned my business career and in order to try to become a writer, the image came into my mind of a woman embracing a completely invisible man, and the image was so ridiculous and appealing at the same time that I was sure that I had a good idea.
And so then you carried it forward. I mean, you almost had to define invisibility.
The invisibility, of course, it turns out to be a wonderful driving mechanism, both for the plot and the character. For people who haven't read the book, and I'm afraid there must be still a very large number of them out there, and this man, having become immediately invisible, is government agents want to get their hands on him because, among other things, they think he'd make a splendid laboratory animal, which he certainly would. And he understandably wants to get away from him. And the rest of the plot consists of this paranoid chase. He makes his way to New York City, where he, completely isolated but in the midst of humanity, leads this kind of Robinson Crusoe-like existence where he can't let anyone know he's there, and he has to find out how to provide for himself all his basic needs, clothing and food and above all, some kind of human companionship, which for most of the book he can really only get over the telephone.
But if he is invisible, how does anyone know he's there?
Well, one of the invisibility, of course, isn't a terribly original idea, I have to say, but invisibility for this hero, instead of being a magical power which enables him to escape all the normal constraints of everyday life, turns out to make everyday life far more difficult. He has to constantly be watching, not only for the people pursuing him, but just for random vehicles or joggers or people on roller skates.
Because they would run into him.
Who may crash into him from any direction because they can't see him.
It's so curious that you've chosen to make invisibility not a magical power, not an asset. It becomes almost an affliction. For example, we're used to Topper, our blithe spirit, and these people can walk through walls and they can do anything they want, but he is really just a human being that if you were to punch him, you would hurt him, even though you couldn't see him.
Yes, you give up some of the fun of invisibility. On the other hand, you gain a stronger plot, and also I think a more compelling more compelling metaphor, probably.
It's an interesting metaphor because he's almost invisible before he becomes invisible. He is, part of the great gray they that goes to work every day at 9 and comes home every day at 5. And it even, I don't ever think he's missed. Even after he becomes invisible, he's not even missed.
I guess one of the most melancholy things for him is that he's at first excited, like anyone thinking about invisibility, probably at the opportunity of hearing his friends talk about him being the fly on the wall. But then he discovers that he's really not such a terribly important part of anyone's life, and the kind of casual offhand judgments that people make about other people when they don't think they're going to come back really overwhelm him and cut him off even more from his life up to that point.
Mm. But he does function. He manages to stay alive by, going into empty apartments and trying to live there for a while, and by going to men's clubs and trying to live there for a while. But the most interesting thing is, given our society the way that it is, by phone. He still has a voice, he can pick up a phone, and he establishes a whole other identity, and not just an identity, but one that becomes rather wealthy as well.
Yes, he is the ultimate inside trader. And he finds that nowadays when everything is really a kind of electronic bookkeeping entity in some data bank, he can have bank accounts and brokerage accounts and charge accounts and order everything over the phone, and he gradually puts together an almost complete existence for himself.
He does also manage to have a lover. You said you started with the image of a woman embracing an invisible man, and he does eventually have a lover. Interestingly enough, it's someone whom he has been standing next to at a party, and she begins to talk about how she believes in ghosts.
Yes, the irony for him is that his relationship with this woman, and she's the only person who knows of his existence besides the people who are pursuing him, but his relationship with her is made possible by her superstitiousness, which is a quality for which he has he has quite a lot of contempt. He thinks of himself as a terribly rational person, and the relationship almost comes apart because of this.
It took you 5 years to write this book. Awful long time.
I tell myself I was working about half time. Probably would have taken me 5 years anyway.
Wasn't it fun for you, though?
This book is tremendous fun to write, and I think that's one of the things that drew me to the premise. There are all kinds of formulaic scenes, whether it's his relationship with a girl or just walking through a circular door, that it's fun for a writer to solve.
Is it difficult for you to talk about this book? I mean, it's after the fact. You've lived with it for 5 years. Do you find it hard to talk about it?
Well, it's hard in several ways. One, of course, is that after living with it for 5 years and knowing it almost by heart by the time I was done, I really was tremendously sick of it by the end. But also, I think it's generally hard to talk about fiction because you've put so much work into realizing the plot and the characters in a certain way that you're unhappy summarizing anything or restating it in any way.
Mm. Are you writing now?
Yes.
A sequel, Son of Invisible Man?
No, not a sequel. There were no more Invisible Man. I think I've chewed all the flavor out of that premise.
A new premise. Can we ask you about it?
Well, I couldn't say anything sensible. I'll be grateful if you let me escape that question soon.
Okay, then better not to say anything at all. H.F. Saint, thank you very much for being with us.
Thank you.
H.F. Saint is the author of Memoirs of an Invisible Man, published by Athenaeum.